Hola y bienvenidos a Sex and Spanglish, where we empower mujeres to get in touch with their bodies, own their pleasure, and where we discuss all the cochinadas our abuelas didn't tell us about. I'm Ana López, sexpert, future doctora, certified sex and life coach, proud Latina, and your go-to guide for all things sex. I'm here to help you kick vergüenza to the curb and teach you to have guilt-free sexual pleasure. Basically, I'm here to help you have mind-blowing sex without all the guilt and shame you learned growing up. Let's be real. La comunidad Latina doesn't talk about sex, pero qué suerte tienes because this Latina does. It is my vision to have Latinas worldwide discussing sex with one another just like they do with chisme. Así que, prepárate. I'm about to change the way you view sex para siempre. Welcome back to another episode of the Sex and Spanglish podcast. Today's episode is going to be another episode in the Cost of a Woman series. And today's topic is going to be on physical pain. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to go over a list of examples of physical pain that women go through. And I want to point out, as you may see, as I'm reading off this list, that it is not extensive by any means, right? It's actually pretty short. And the reason for that isn't because that like these other things that we go through physically are not important. The reason why I'm cutting this list short is because it's less important to identify these things and more important to talk about why they are impacting your sex life and how you can then get the help that you need. Because many times what happens is women just assume that these things are normal, or that the pain they're going through is normal. Everyone's going through this, all of these things, and they never get it addressed. But you don't have to go through life in pain. So with that being said, here is the list that I came up with. The first thing is probably pretty obvious, periods, right? They can be painful for many people. Many of us still have to work and do other things while we are on our period. Back in the day, that was not the case. We were actually able to rest the week of our period. And so now it's totally different, and we're required to work and do household duties while we are still in pain. A lot of us have heavy bleeding, right? And when you're on your feet, you actually bleed more. So yeah, it's even worse, right, when you're working. But some of us have to work. We don't have a choice. Some of us have to take care of our kids. We don't have a choice. And we have to do all of this while we are in physical pain and while we are still bleeding. And then we have the back pain from periods that can happen also from individuals that have like bigger boobs. There are cysts that we deal with, cysts that pop, fibroids, endometriosis, PCOS, hysterectomies, perimenopause, menopause, osteoporosis, osteopenia, migraines, PMS, PMDD, pregnancy, and labor. And those are just a few examples. There are so many more that I could go over. But again, it is less important to talk about these things and more important as to why these things need to be addressed. So, first of all, why would any of this impact your sex life? Well, if it wasn't obvious, if you are in pain or if you are uncomfortable, if you are not feeling well, you are likely not going to want to have sex. And many of these things can cause changes in libido. And you never have to just suffer from having low libido if you mentally have the desire to have sex. So how do we address this? Your first step, as I always say, is to know your body. You are the professional of your body. You are the only person that is with your body 24/7. You need to know your body in and out. And how do you do this? Well, first of all, I always talk about a mirror exercise on this podcast. So if you've been here for any amount of time, you've probably heard me talk about this already. It's super important to get to know what your body looks like, right? And that includes your vulva. So get a pocket mirror and get a full-length mirror and take a look, and not just a glance. I want you to really examine and observe as if you were like a scientist in a laboratory. I really want you to focus on what your body looks like. What are the different textures, the different smells, the tastes, all of those things. I really want you to pay attention to what is normal for you. So that is just like the appearance and also bringing in all the other senses. I also want you to pay attention to what is normal for you when it comes to pain, when it comes to your menstrual cycle, all of those things. Is it normal for you to have a period like every other month? Is it normal for you to have a period twice a month, right? Like, and when I say normal, I don't mean that this is how it should be happening, but what typically happens with your body is what I'm, when I say by normal, right? What is normal for you is what is typically happening with your body. And the reason why you want to know this is because you want to be able to bring it up to the medical provider that you see. What your normal is, quote unquote, may not be the status quo. And so it's super important to point that out and be like, hey, you know what? I actually get my period twice a month, and this has been happening since I got my period when I was like 14 or whatever it is, right? So it's super important to know not only what your body looks like, but what is like normal for your body, what typically happens with your body. And the reason for this is that when you go to the doctor to get these things checked out, if you have any complaints, you could say, you know what? Normally my pain level during my period is a 3. And for the past 3 months, it's been at an 8. That is not normal for me. And so I think that this needs to be addressed, and pain medication isn't cutting it. So let's talk about how we can get this addressed, right? The better you know your body, the more you're able to advocate for yourself, because you are going to feel more confident knowing what is normal for you. You know when something is wrong. And so the more informed you are about your own body, the better you are able to advocate for yourself. Oftentimes what happens is you go to a medical professional and you will ask for certain types of testing or something like that, and they will deny it. There are many reasons why they deny it. It's not always because they don't want to help you. However, if they are like, actually, you know what? No, I'm not going to test you for your thyroid or whatever it is that you ask, right? If they deny you testing, what I want you to do is follow this script. I want you to repeat to them, okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that you do not want to test me for my thyroid. You're denying me the testing that I'm requesting. Go ahead and write that down in my chart, so that the next time that I come and I ask, that it is charted. I also ask that you write down that I requested a referral to see another professional that will give me the testing that I am requesting. You don't have to say this verbatim, but that is essentially what you want to say. You want to make sure that everything is documented, because oftentimes what happens is individuals, especially women, will go to the doctor, will request further testing for anything, it doesn't matter. They will get denied. They will come back 6 months to a year later, request the same testing. They will get denied. Same thing happens again 6 months, a year later. And finally, they get tested to find out that they have like stage 4 cancer or something else, some other ailment that could have been prevented or could have been treated in the beginning stages. And so it is super important that you're asking your provider to chart these things and putting in your chart that you are requesting these testings and that they're actively denying it, and that you are also requesting to see another provider. Now, I am definitely speaking from a privileged place when I say to request another provider. I know for many people, excuse me, that is not an option. However, if it is at all available to you, at the very least, just ask to request to see someone else. Even if you find out that that provider that they send you to is out of your network, it's not affordable for you, whatever that is, at the very least, request to see a different provider. Because what might happen is that they change their mind, that they decide to give you the testing right then and there. So it's super important that even if you're not sure that you could afford seeing a different provider, or if that's even an option for you, I definitely suggest that you at least request it, at the very least, or ask for a second opinion, right? It doesn't hurt to ask. And above all, continue asking for care. If you go in asking for your thyroid to be tested and they're denying you and you really want it tested and you ask them to see a different provider to give you a referral and you're unable to see another provider, then the next time that you go in for a checkup, ask again. Continue advocating for the care until you get it. Because you are the only one that is going to be able to continue advocating for yourself. You have to absolutely advocate for yourself, because if you don't, you leave it up to the medical system, and the medical system is not going to help you advocate for yourself. That is not what they are there for. So I highly encourage you to advocate for yourself and continue asking for the care that you need. It can be very helpful if you take someone with you. And by someone, I don't mean a child. I mean taking someone that is actually going to be there with you, that is like able to stand up for you as well. So this could be a partner. This could be a friend. If you have for example, I wouldn't take my mom, and not because she's my mom, but because I'm the one that kind of helps her at the doctor, right? And so you really want someone that's going to be advocating for you just as much as you are advocating for yourself. Sometimes having that other person there is very helpful. And I'm always willing, if y'all are in the area and you want me to go with you and help you advocate for yourself, let me know. I'm in Illinois, so if that's helpful for y'all. So that being said, that is all that I have for y'all today. Again, physical health is so important, especially as it relates to sex. I mean, it's important in general, but it's so, so, so important when it comes to sex. If you are not feeling your best, you're not going to want to have sex. And if you're not alive, you're not going to be able to have sex either. So it's super important that you take care of your physical health. And I know that being a woman puts us, we're predisposed to many things. I totally get that. There's no getting out of that. And the more that you know your body, the more that you are able to advocate for yourself, the better turnout you are going to have. So that is all I have for y'all today. I will talk to y'all next week.
Hey, mujer, this is your invitation to join La Sinvergüenza Symposium. Redefine what it means to be a sinvergüenza and learn to do the things you enjoy without shitting on yourself. The waitlist is open and ready for your name. The link to join is in the show notes. If you like what you heard, be sure to hit the subscribe button to be notified when new episodes are released. Join me every week to hear me talk about orgasms, foreskin, dildos, and all the other cochinadas your abuela didn't tell you about. But that's not all. We'll also discuss machismo, la tía metiche, and sexual stories from other Latinas just like you. And if you're ready to start spicing up your sex life tonight, then be sure to download my free ebook, Spice It Up con la Sex Coach. You can find the link in the show notes. And finally, let's keep in touch. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Sex and Spanglish. Be sure to follow me and let me know you heard this episode. Deseándote todo el placer, porque el placer es poder.